Here is the extraordinary thing of having survived, of having had so many incredible miracles happening to me and letting me survive, be among the 200 or 250 Jews who found themselves in Vilnius the day they were liberated, 250 people of a community of about 80,000 Jews. Lithuania, it is quite well known, was the highest rate of murdered Jews in the Nazi-occupied areas. Something like 95 or 96% of the people were annihilated. Here comes the story of this miraculous event that allowed us then to find a hiding place, is that my aunt, when she was about 12, 13, most 14, was working for a baker in town who was providing bread and cakes and all to one of the aristocratic palaces of Vilna. And the girl was very liked by the staff of the kitchen. And the lady who was the governess of that mansion liked that girl very much and tried to convince her that she would be smart to escape from the place where she was employed and come to the palace and let her take care of her. And this is what happened. She agreed, the girl who was then 12 or 13, agreed to that. And because the law permitted to baptize Jewish children and then take them away from their parents once they were baptized, that's what happened to this girl. She was then adopted by the governess and her husband. And my aunt, Hanele, or then as she was called, Janina, was put to study in a college for girls of the better families of Vilnius that was run by Benedictine sisters. And she became very close to a couple of these sisters, developed with them a very, very, very deep relationship. Years later, when she came to live in Vilnius already with children of her own and so on, she contacted again her brother, my grandfather, and we became very close to her, in spite of the fact that by now she was a good Catholic. That helped us to be allowed to hide in the convent of the Benedictine sisters, who made very special place for us in the area that was called the Clausura, which was an area that was completely closed to the outer world. They even had to have a permit of the bishop of Vilna, so that my aunt, her husband, and my father would be able to join us and hide together in that place, in spite of the fact that in that area, which was of women only, no man was ever permitted to access, unless it was really very important to make some repairs of windows or roofs or ceilings or whatever. So we were very lucky that we had a hiding place there. And that lasted for something like 7 or 8 months that we were hidden in one room in that convent. Of course, not being able to leave the room and being in touch only with 3 or 4 of the sisters who knew about us, because it was within the convent, a place that was secret. But then the Germans decided to take that convent away from the church and turn it into a place where they would collect books and artifacts of the entire area of Poland and Russia, which would serve them as material for what they planned, a museum of the once existing nations. It was an organization called the Rosenberg Headquarters that was dealing with this project of creating that museum, and they decided to take over the convent, and we somehow miraculously happened to escape that place just at the time in which all the sisters were put on trucks that took them to a labor camp. And we managed somehow to And when I say we, it is myself, my mother, my aunt, my father, and my uncle. And we managed to get into the ghetto. Into ghetto. By that time, the population of the ghetto was about 19,000. About more than half of the people already were killed by then. The authorities, the German authorities, found it possible somehow to nourish these people who were then corralled in that number of three or four streets and use them as slave labor. So that's where our life continued for another couple of years. In the ghetto, in that lull between one period of destruction and then what happened about a year and a half or 2 years later, the proper destruction of the ghetto, in this lull, there was suddenly in the ghetto, in spite of the incredible dire conditions, a kind of awakening of arts. People organized the theater, there were jazz concerts, there was jazz, there was singing, music, classical music. Vilna was culturally a very important center in the Jewish life in the European East. So there were many writers, poets, painters, who wrote and painted and wrote music. And that is where, in the ghetto, two poets who worked for the Rosenberg administration as slave laborers and were putting together enormous piles of books that came from various Jewish libraries. Those two poets, one of them, the name of Abraham Sutzkever, is maybe the greatest Yiddish poet of the 20th century. He survived. But those two poets, they were relatively young, took a great interest in this boy who was a little child prodigy, and myself, and managed to find for me paper and pencils and encouraged me to draw and to paint. And in order to provide me with material to work, they found and smuggled into the ghetto from that place where they were collecting books, an ancient book that belonged to the Jewish community, a book that dealt mainly with the various Jewish organizations of philanthropy in the 18th century, in the 19th century. And that book had very beautifully inscribed pages, very beautifully handwritten calligraphy and so on, with various names of people, of committees and of deeds they did. But they were empty pages, and they told me, just take this book and make drawings here. And I was made to understand that if this book has some chances to survive, they are much greater than my chances to survive, and that this book will be a witness. But to me, as a child, I do not think that this whole notion of death was very clear. I mean, even today, to any grown-up, even the ones who have witnessed the death of their closest people, one's own death is never a very clear possibility. It's something we know. One day we will not exist, but how is it? But then, when I was in the ghetto, the idea of not being there did not really preoccupy me very much. So I was making drawings in this book. What is really strange and very unusual is that that book, which I took with me later to a labor camp, and I lost it in the labor camp, was found, and is today part of the Jewish Museum's holdings in Vilnius with my drawings that I did at age 8 or 9. And this is the Pinkas. This book was called the Pinkas,